This episode of the Creepy Kingdom podcast is being brought to you by Beyond the Poison Apple. They create handcrafted Disney villain and Haunted Mansion inspired items. And let me tell you guys, their stuff is incredible. How good is their stuff? Well, Disney themselves actually bought some of her vintage bottle recreations to use in the Conjure a Villain attraction that used to be at Disneyland a few years ago. So check them out at Etsy.com/shop/beyondthepoisonapple. That's Etsy.com/shop/beyondthepoisonapple.
Spellcaster Media presents.
Greetings and welcome to the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of theme parks, films, and beyond. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and it is now time for my favorite time of year. That's right, creepy days are upon us. What are creepy days? It's special episodes where we review the best Halloween attractions in Southern California, Orlando, and beyond. You know, to check out videos, photos, show notes, and links to all of our social media and everything we talk about in this episode, just go to creepykingdom.com. And Creepy Days 2017 is brought to you by the Creepy Kingdom Patreon page. If you would like to help support Creepy Kingdom and have access to exclusive bonus footage and much more, go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. Coming up in this episode, we will be giving you the full rundown on this year's Dark Harbor event at the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. If you're unfamiliar with the Queen Mary or Dark Harbor, you definitely want to tune into this one. We go deep, and the boat doesn't sink. Also, at the week of this release, this is our Queen Mary week here at Creepy Kingdom. Not only will we be having this episode, we also will be coming to you live from the launch of Queen Mary Chill. That's their holiday event. We're going to be searching for all the creepiness there. You can follow that along on social media. And on top of all that, we'll be posting a highlight video from the Queen Mary's year-round Ghost and Legends Tour. That's right, real-life ghost stories that take you to the bowels of this legendary ship, and crazy things happen. We have a whole bunch of fun Queen Mary stuff coming your way, starting right now. Everybody, I'm here with Angie Taylor.
Hello.
And Josh Taylor.
That's me.
And they're back again to talk about haunts. I love your guys' perspective going to these events for the first time, and you're all bright-eyed and bushy-tail.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You're like, oh boy, oh yay. Or you're like, this sucks. No, I don't know. I'm not. No spoilers. I don't know what they're going to say yet. But anyways, we are here this round to talk about Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. And before we even get into it, we've covered Dark Harbor before on the show, but in case you haven't heard it, you don't know what it is, you don't live in Southern California, you're like, why should I care about this? Or whatever. But let me tell you, I mean, Queen Mary, it's been docked in Long Beach, California. I don't know how long, but...
I think it's been around 30 years.
Yeah,
or longer.
Yeah, maybe even longer. At the time, it was one of the biggest ships to sail. And it actually does tie in with a little bit of Disney history, as the plot of land around the Queen Mary, and also what used to be there, this huge plane called the Spruce Goose. At one point, Disney bought that property in the 90s, and that's where they were going to build, I forget what it was called, but like a sea, Disney Sea.
Disney Sea, yeah.
But what actually ended up
going
being,
to Tokyo.
Yeah, we ended up being what's in Tokyo. But so it's about half an hour from Disneyland. So it's always interesting to think, you know, what could have been if that was another gate a half an hour away. You know, but eventually Disney does not, they sold it off. You know, I don't know all the history on that, but it's just, it's interesting to think that. And it will probably, so they have tours there, and they also have rooms, even though it's docked, people could stay there. And they have events throughout the year. But one of the things that a lot of people like about the Queen Mary, or the history of it, is that it is, supposedly haunted, like, you know, paranormal stuff for real. So this is kind of cool to have haunted attractions in places that are supposedly actually haunted. So so that kind of, you know, I think that's more than enough reason to discuss it on the show. I don't know. What do you guys know about Queen Mary?
I'm a huge, like, history buff, and just knowing a lot of the ghost stories from the ship itself, and even when you're on the ship, not during Halloween season, you know, just any time, there is kind of like this weird aura where you have to think about like the Titanic and it's sinking. You have to think about, like, if you know some of the stories, it ran during World War II and it hit another boat and that boat sank and killed tons of people. A girl who I believe was like the 60s or 70s drowned in the pool. You know, there's all these different stories. So you just kind of feel this weird aura. And the Queen Mary definitely loves the lore, because outside in many of the rooms or in many of the places, they'll have a plaque with the story of supposedly the ghost that haunts that area. So they love the ghost stories and, you know, embrace that side of their history.
Oh, for sure. In fact, they just announced very recently, I think it's coming in November, that they actually are going to be giving ghost tours of the ship. So actually they're going to probably have somebody take you there and tell you those tales. This is totally independent of Dark Harbor or the haunt. This is actual ghost stories. So they definitely enjoy that. And to tie it all together, the Disney connection, there is a portion of the ship with portraits of celebrities that have been on the Queen Mary. And there's a picture of Walt Disney. he'd physically been on the boat. But yeah, Dark Harbor. So they have some haunts on the actual ship. They have some around it. It's a very unique event at a very unique location. I've been going for a few years now, but this is the first year for Josh and Angie.
It is.
And we went on separate nights, four nights apart, I believe you said.
yeah, not very long apart, but enough time to where if there were any kind of kinks on night one, they may have been able to, you know, work those out.
Right, yeah, because I went on opening night and you guys went four nights later. That's probably just about... You're probably best about right, but 3 or 4 days, I should probably work it all out. So another thing that's interesting, too, is that the characters, they have a lot of recurring characters in the maze. Some of the mazes usually come back every year with slight changes, some with drastic changes. But, you know, the characters are based on Queen Mary lore, and they tell a little bit more of their story. And that's I find the storytelling is very rich with yes. Dark Harbor. And that's one of my favorite things about it.
I totally agree. I thought, like, the theming of every maze, seven mazes in total this year, around all of them are based around a character, and that character has a story, most of them connected to some kind of ghost story on the ship. Like, for example, you know, the new maze this year was Feast, and the cook actually there was a cook that was, like, thrown into the oven and did die on the ship.
So that's a true story, then. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, obviously it goes with everything else, but I didn't actually know that story. Wow.
Yeah, insane story. Totally.
Well, before we get into the mazes, what's other interesting also is that the grounds, as you walk in, it's kind of like a twisted carnival kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, I kind of stated to the people that went with us that take the idea of the Queen Mary invited this demented circus, you know, to take over the harbor for a celebration. And, like, it's this weird mix of scary circus with, like, ghost lore, and that's basically what the Dark Harbor is in total.
You've summed it up perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done. Goodbye, guys. No, just kidding. Just kidding. All right. So, what were your guys' impressions just walking into the grounds for the first time?
Well, my first impression was actually of the ship itself as well, because I haven't actually gone on the ship at all, and it has been something that I have wanted to do for a while. I actually have a book that's the most haunted places in the world. Mm. Actually, it's the most haunted places in the country, I believe. And Queen Mary is in the book. So wow. It's always been a goal of mine to go there. And it was interesting that my first time ever going there was for Dark Harbor. The cool thing that I actually didn't expect was that we were able to go and walk through kind of like the belly of the ship, where, like, I knew there were going to be mazes on the ship, but I thought it was going to be like if there was an auditorium or like a banquet hall type of an area, it was just going to be like a maze set up within that, just like they had the maze set up outside. But
right.
It was actually walking through the hallways of the ship set up as the mazes. And that surprised me and delighted me.
Nice.
So it was really cool. Because I'm so interested in, like, the ghost stories and such, it was kind of like a two for one in that sense. But also I am still really excited to go back another time and actually just do, like, a regular tour of the ship, regular history tour, and the regular, like, haunted ghost tours, because I feel like going and doing both of those tours and going and doing Dark Harbor are going to be three separate experiences, because I still don't know too much about the Queen Mary after doing Dark Harbor. It actually surprised me a little bit that I don't really know what the Queen Mary is still, you know, like, from going on it anyway.
Right, yeah, Dark Harbor is not... you're not going to get the full history lesson there, that's for sure.
One of the things that I really love, and we did a whole podcast episode kind of comparing, contrasting all of the different amusement theme park experiences, you know, not just the one-off things, but the theme park experiences. And I put Queen Mary in there because it has seven mazes, similar to how Halloween Horror Nights is at Universal. They have seven. But the benefit that Queen Mary has is they're basically building this thing from the ground up. They're not trying to kind of wedge mazes into certain sections of the park. So their benefit is that out of all of the different places that you can go, I'm going to guess almost anywhere in the U.S. that you're not going to have to go very far from one maze to the next. It's all kind of in a nice small little area, basically as like a hub and spoke type of situation that Angie described it as on our show, where once you get into the middle, there's like stage shows there. And then if you look in every direction, there's an entrance to a maze on the outer rim of that wheel.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that the layout of Dark Harbor this year is completely different than it has been in the past.
Right. Oh. Because they had used the dome previous to this.
Yeah, the dome where the dome where Spruce Goose used to be, but was not in. Yeah, they had. And did you hear why they did not have mazes in there? Because I didn't get an answer on that.
I just assumed that they wanted to use it more for banquet halls and things like that. Or I know they have also the Chill event, which is their winter celebration. And then now that that's getting bigger, that might be something that they're like using that space for, you know, and preparing much more in advance for that. I'm not sure.
I just
frankly assumed there was money involved, so they weren't going to use it.
Oh, who knows? I mean, I didn't know if they were what they were doing in there. I figured they were doing something.
Right.
We reviewed Chill last year for sure, which was interesting because they had it was like Alice in Winterland was the theme, so it was the same as kind of like a haunt maze, but it wasn't there was no scare actors there, you know?
Right. It was like fanciful and fun.
Yeah, it was like going through Alice in Wonderland, and I was like, and it was one of those things where I was like, this is the kind of stuff I wish Disney would do. Like, I just want to walk these immersive environments, you know, because if Disney could blow it out of the water with that stuff, I mean, we know it, we've seen it, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to do that. I hope they do something like that again this year.
Yeah, we'll see what the theme is. The year before that wasn't the theme, so we'll see. They did announce that the event is definitely coming back and they're working on it, but I'm sure they'll do something similar because... Well, I thought it was fun. But anyways, back to Dark Harbor. Not fun, Christmassy, safe stuff.
Right, yeah, yeah. Dark Harbor. But the layout, I mean, I don't know if you'd agree, but the layout is smaller and easier to navigate rather than some of the theme parks that kind of have to, like, wedge things.
Oh, yeah, they're just, like
the back areas.
Right, they're just spread out. Yeah, and they're usually in the haunt itself is usually in backstage areas is kind of what you're saying. But,
right.
And in the other – Universal and Knott's, but
right.
Yeah, the other
Dark Harbor has that benefit.
Right. Another reason I would actually throw this in with those other parks is that the quality level is right there with them as well. I think the production,
yes,
is super high. I think the first year I went to it, I didn't know what to expect, and I was kind of blown away at the quality level. You know, I was like, oh, this is a major contender here.
Right. It's not just like. They put out like an open call to like kids in the neighborhood to come volunteer at
right.
like some haunted corn maze. You know, it's they picked people. They probably went through some pretty good casting calls and stuff too to find who they found.
Right. Well, what's great is they have several people actors playing like some of the main characters. Like it's been the same people. Not in the haunts, but the people that some of them that walk around or that appear, some of them actually do appear in the haunts, which I love. Those are the same actors that appeared at Midsummer Scream when they had their presentation. So it's, you know, I remember one time I was talking with Shannon. It's like, I love their characters so much. I would love to see like a movie or like a series or something like explore
yeah.
this. They spend so much time building these characters up that I want more than just the mazes.
You know? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
They're also very, when describing them to Angie or to anybody, I kind of said, like, they're not as scary, you know? Like, when you meet, like, the ringmaster or the captain or the cook, I kind of feel that they're more Burton-esque. They're more like a Tim Burton scary. They're more kind of, like, kooky, creepy, rather than full-out frightening.
It's interesting. I never thought about that. And but yeah, they're kind of humorous, and even Scary Mary, who appears there. You know, she's right. She's kind of silly.
she'll play games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that I found like very interesting about Dark Harbor that very much separates it from Halloween Horror Nights and Not Scary Farm is, you know, Halloween Horror Nights has its intellectual properties. So if you've seen the movies that they're putting in the mazes, then you know the characters from that. Then Not Scary Farm has all original concepts, as far as, like, not having intellectual properties. I mean, some are, like, repeats from last year, but it's all their own ideas. Hmm. But the stories don't necessarily, the mazes don't necessarily revolve around a character, right. A main character. And the one maze that does revolve around a singular character, I guess, would probably be the Pumpkin Eater. I think that's, like, the only one.
At Knott's, you mean?
At Knott's, yes. Yeah. So, and even then, like, you don't... there is a point, I think, where you meet Peter Pumpkin Eater. I don't know how obvious they make it, but it seemed like it was him in the maze. Kind of towards the end. But other than that, like, you don't know anything about the backstory of the mazes in Halloween Horror Nights or in Not Scary Farm until you walk through it. And yes, Knott's did an amazing immersive job with each one of their mazes. And it was enough to tell the story. And with Halloween Horror Nights, for the most part, you already know the stories. But if you don't, it's kind of like, I mean, it's still fun, but, you know, I don't know who Jack Torrance is if I haven't seen The Shining,
right.
But or like Ash from like Ash versus Evil Dead, but you could still enjoy it. But I thought Dark Harbor was very interesting, especially if you go at the very very opening to be let in. They do a little pre-show, and some of the characters actually come out on a little stage above the entrance and have a little bit of banter, give some introductions, and it's really interesting because you're getting to know them as characters before you ever step foot into their stories. Mm. And once you step foot into their stories, parts of them are within each individual maze, and it really feels like you're learning something about each of the characters, and it kind of gives you like more of an appreciation. It's kind of like, you know, brings it full circle, and you know, like you understand when you see them around the park that, or around, not the park, but around the
grounds,
the grounds. Yeah. Like you kind of get it. You get it. You get what they're trying to tell you and who these people are supposed to be. And that's something that Knott's and Halloween Horror Nights does not have. And I just think that that's very interesting. It's like you're in their world. You're not just going through a maze that's their world. You're actually like the thing as a whole is their world.
That's interesting. And it adds to my thoughts on it as well with that. They usually have the same mazes. Sometimes they'll bring a new one in. But they change them a little here or there, which we'll get to. But there, it's always like you can go back there every year, and it's like it's always there because that's the story they're telling, that all these things are actually here.
Right.
It's not a pop up attraction. I mean, it is literally, but that's not the way that it's coming across. You know. And part of that is, like I said, this is their world. Like, now you're... All these characters relate to each other. No one's, like, off on their own, you know, in their own little story. You know, they're all part of the Queen Mary, which... There's so their method of storytelling is very unique. And it begins when you enter the grounds, as opposed to Halloween Horror Nights. It begins when you watch the movies before you get in there. And at Knott's, it begins when you actually first enter the maze.
Right. It's interesting that they're all different in those ways. I didn't expect that.
It is very interesting. So, before we get to any of the mazes, was there anything that you guys did or experienced? Oh, because one thing I want to point out is they do kind of have a circus sideshow where they have different performers. And in the past, that was behind an area that was just for VIP only. But for this year, I see they have them all out in the open for everyone to enjoy. Did you guys check out any of the performers?
Yeah, we checked out a few of the performers. I actually really prefer like more, because they had a mix of like sideshow performers and more of what I would consider like Cirque du Soleil style type performers,
like aerial performers and stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah. We saw like the kind of like the aerial ribbon dancers. And that was really cool. And we saw a couple of the sideshow stuff and whatnot, mostly in passing. But it was great to, like, even if it's not, you know, something to sit down and watch, it just adds to this environment that you're in, this, like, weird, dark circus.
For sure, yeah. Even just walking by it, yeah, it's cool. That's probably another reason they put it out there. And also that VIP area, you know, only a limited amount of people were getting access to that. So it's good if the performers have a bigger audience,
have a larger crowd. Yeah, and they did all night long. And some of the characters who wander around too got to sort of like egg on some of the sideshow people as well. So it really, again, it created this atmosphere of like, all of these characters live here. They're not just like a character that doesn't know anybody. They all know each other, and you've kind of been welcomed into their world.
For sure. I love it. I love this, how immersive all is. Any other thoughts about any of the things that are going on outside of the mazes?
I would just say, I think that the Queen Mary has something really good here, and I know that they've been doing this for not very long. It's only been like 5 or 6 years, I think, that they've been doing the Dark Harbor. But I do feel like their merchandise was almost non-existent versus like Knott's and Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. Both really try and sell you on merchandise, before you exit the park, multiple places around the park, and that just wasn't really what the Queen Mary was doing, which, for them, great, but I feel like the chance to be able to kind of walk out at the end of the night, we were saying, like, we love this enough, we'd love to have, a piece to take home. And there were a couple of shirts, there were a couple of things here or there, but there really wasn't a specific thing that we looked at and said, like, yeah, this is a really great piece of merchandise to take home.
Yeah, I guess those other events, yeah, there's quite an array of merchandise. I think there's only a few items. Yeah, and you guys really, really bring out some things I never thought about. I was like, right on. Because I'm like, yeah, like the merchandising, the merchandise points are, I think there's only one that I can think of.
I think there's only one, but there's, 5 or 6 locations for food and drink. And then there's tons of space where there's performers and characters wandering around. But I would say there's like a 10 by 10 little tent that had merchandise. And then that was it.
Well, yeah, you hear that? Dark Harbor, we want to buy some stuff.
Right. Yeah. We want to give you mud money.
Yeah. Jinx.
Knock on wood. All right. So, all right, let's get to the mazes here. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, do you guys have a particular order, or do you want me to just call them out?
Just call them out. We've probably got notes for all of them.
All right. Well, what was new to all of us here was Feast. And this is a maze, like you said, I guess it's about a chef that got thrown into an oven. And right off the bat, what I found interesting about this one was, again, I guess I want to try not to be too spoilery here, but, is that when the maze starts, it actually felt like you were going back into the kitchen. So this was actually put into a kitchen area.
Yes.
So that kind of brought you in the mood for it right away. I remember that distinctively. Another thing is they had temperatures going on there, extreme yes. temperatures. There was one section where you're in a freezer, which the night that I was there was very hot. So that was nice.
Yeah, right. So what you're saying is the other room that was extreme hot was not nice.
Well, I'm going to say this, and there's no way really to dance around this. I mean, without spoiling it. So for me, when it comes to haunts, in general, not just these theme park haunts we talk about on Creepy Kingdom, but I get exposed to a bunch of haunts, mostly because of Shannon from Nightmarish Conjurings. And the one thing I don't deal well with is claustrophobia.
No. And I know what you're talking about.
And I mean, and there's some situations where some people's like, oh, that haunt made me claustrophobic because of whatever, you know, and I go through the same thing and I don't really feel it. But there's a part in this maze, which is a first for Dark Harbor, where they want you to crawl through a really tight space.
Yes.
And There was an employee that was there because they have, you know, security employee, whatever, check. I don't know what their titles are, you know, throughout the bases, making sure, you know, things are going the way they're supposed to go. We reached that point and I immediately was like, no, I was like, I'm not going in there.
You just gave up.
I was not even like, I didn't think about it for at all. I just blatantly refused. Mostly because I knew that that was probably going to be the hot room. So the combination of heat and tight spaces was not going to work for me. So I just looked at the person and said, I'm not going in there. Is there a way around? And they said, yeah.
So. Yeah, we saw some people skip it. I didn't skip it, but I have to say I was first in line for our group. And I got up to it, and I, like, looked down, and I looked at Josh, and I was like, I physically cannot, like, make myself go into that space because I am, like, too scared. And because I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm claustrophobic. I don't like not knowing what's around the corner, and it's not just a crawl space, it's a crawl space with twists and turns. And I was like, I can't, like, what if somebody is just like in there waiting for me to scare me? Like, I can't. So Josh went first.
So you talked about like meeting the characters within the mazes at some points.
Yeah.
Within the crawl space, the ventilation that went into the oven, which is basically where you pop out. Within the crawling into these vents, I met the chef.
Yep.
In the vent?
In the vent.
Yep.
And how did that happen?
I just had to stay there.
So he had crawled in, like, through the opposite way. So if you're like, so like he was waiting, so he had to back up for us to be able to get out.
Oh my God.
Josh was like, he saw him and he looks back at me and he's like, there's a man in here and he hates me.
How do you know that?
He just had a look upon his face, you know? But that, here's the thing. I really, I know that you hate it or that it's, you know, it is a fear. The thing that I really loved about this maze is it put you in extreme temperatures. It made you crawl. It made you go through things that a regular haunted house may not do. This was a little more extreme. I wouldn't say like a seriously extreme haunted house, but it had, you know, bits and pieces that were a little extreme. And it played on fears. Like, if you're not afraid of characters or jump scares or things like that, You can be afraid of tight spaces. You can be afraid of things like that. So this played on a lot of fears for a lot of people. And this actually, out of, I think I said this on our podcast, out of all of the experiences that we did between Knott's, Universal, and this, Feast was my favorite maze that we did of any of them because of that. Because I think that it made you and forced you into things that you would not normally do. And luckily for some people who are like that actually afraid of a situation, you know, they can be moved along by who's ever working the maze. But to be able to take that challenge on and crawl through that space and like meet the chef head to head, like literally face to face in a vent, it was cool. It was like an experience that I was not going to get anywhere else.
That's
and
true.
For that sake, I really enjoyed it. And there were a lot of other visuals and scenes that like blew me away, that I thought like, this is creepy. I feel like I'm in a movie in this moment. And I really loved it.
Wow. And just so everyone knows too, I mean, I'm not, I just don't deal with claustrophobia. I've been pushed pretty far. Things I haven't discussed on a show. I'm not trying to like, you know, say I get special treatment and I don't get to do whatever or not or like that. You know, I've just kind of like, I know my limits, and being in a tight space with hot and not, people not moving, that's just enough for me to tap out. And I couldn't have tapped out because I would have been stuck in there. And that's the whole point. So, but that's the other thing you said. You brought up not being scared of characters and jump scared, which is true. That's, at this point, I'm not scared of those things. I'm like completely immune to that, you know?
Right.
And also just to reiterate for listeners and stuff too, the thing that I like about these experiences and why I like talking about them on the show is that I love being immersed in these environments. You know, like some people like to go to the haunts because they like to be scared and people jump up at them, and that's cool. That's definitely there for you. You know, but I just like being in these creepy immersive environments. I like whether ones I'm familiar with, like, you know, Halloween Horror Nights, or bring me to a new place and tell me a new story. Or with Dark Harbor, like we're saying, like one that's you know, taking a step through history, that, you know, like thinking that, oh, this has always been here, now I can always come visit it, you know, that kind of thing. But the other thing about, I was in Feast, was they had a secret bar in there.
Yeah.
Did you guys stop for a quick drink? The secret
we
bar.
We didn't stop for a drink there, no. We thought about it, but it looked like they were serving mostly absinthe. I didn't stop for a drink, though, but there were quite a few people that had. This bar was, like, of the two bars that we knew about, was the less secret of them. You basically do walk by it, regardless.
Oh, well, yeah, there's one you walk by, but is there another one that's secret?
I did not find a secret bar within that one.
Okay. So, but you're saying you found a secret bar somewhere else?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know about this one, so I'm excited to find out. But anyways. So. All right. So there. So as far as we know, there's no secret bar in Feast. There's just a bar in Feast.
Yes, there's just a bar that you wander by. Actually, almost at the very beginning. Like you said, you know, you're kind of at the very beginning pushed back into the kitchen. And on that journey back into the kitchen, that's kind of where you end up seeing the bar.
Right. Which is, you know, that's got to be a first, huh?
Yeah.
Put some bars in front of us in the middle of a haunt. So was there like a congestion there?
Around the bar area, there was a little congestion, but I have to give it up to Dark Harbor, because they're, I guess the correct term would be pulsing, right? Like only letting maybe like a group of 5 to 10 people go at a time.
Yeah.
Every few minutes was on point. So many of the experiences that we ended up coming across, we felt very alone in those experiences.
Which is nice.
We never felt like we were in like a long line throughout the entire night that we did it.
The conga line, as it's been referred to. Yeah.
Right.
What? Yeah, it was. Which? Yeah, that's very nice. That's always. It's. You know. I mean. You know. It's when events really popular, they have to have the conga line and. You know, some, and as discussed on other episodes in other places, you know, some people some places compensate for that, some don't. You know, but
right.
It's nice when you don't have to deal with that. All right, so that's their new maze. Very interesting, as Josh put it, something to scare everybody in there.
Yeah, I think so. And I think maybe the scariest of all of these, or at least I would say top three.
This episode of Creepy Kingdom has been brought to you by League of Shadows. This is an Etsy shop that specializes in paranormal and creepy inspired jewelry, including a Haunted Mansion Parasol Girl necklace. Just go to Etsy.com/shop/League of Shadows. That's Etsy.com/shop/League of Shadows. So moving on to the next one, we got Intrepid, All Aboard the Train to Hell. Now, you go on a train, and then you end up where these creatures that were like... They were like steel workers working on the ship, but then I don't know their real backstory, but they died. So they kind of became like half human, half sea creatures or steel workers with Scottish accents for some reason. I'm sure there's this reason for all of this. So what's interesting, did we mention this on the show or not? I'm not sure, but because we talked beforehand, in the past, they had this big dome they used for Dark Harbor. Did we use that? Did we talk about that before we recorded or after?
We have not talked about it yet.
Okay, thanks. What used to be in there at one point when I was a kid and went there was the Spruce Goose, which was one of the largest airplanes to ever fly.
Yeah, Howard Hughes' airplane. There.
Josh with the history facts.
No problem.
But that is somewhere else. But for the past few years, they've had several mazes in the dome. They didn't have them this year. But for Intrepid, that's where it was. I believe it just debuted last year, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So this is only Intrepid's second year. And so they had it in that space, which was a big open space, which... it was a double-edged sword. It didn't really work for like scaring because you could see pretty much everybody coming at you. But yeah. It did make you feel that you were actually in a place where they were working on ships because it was so huge. So this year, it's not there. It's in a much tighter space. I found it to be much longer and a lot more interesting because there was a lot more detail. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of detail in it before because it was mostly, you know, like a steelworking type of environment. But we had a few other environments that are in there. I'm not quite sure how we got there as far as the story goes, but they were interesting nonetheless. So
yeah. I felt this story was the loosest of all the stories.
All right, good. It wasn't just me then.
Yes, this is definitely like okay, I'm getting some kind of like Scottish backstory here, and the history being that the ship was actually made in the UK. So obviously the ship having a lot more Scottish, Irish, English workers creating the ship, but. That's as far as like I could get with the story.
Oh, okay.
And that's from somebody who knows a little bit about the Queen Mary and its history. So for I think a regular person, they'd be very lost.
They'd be like, "What's this?" Okay.
Yeah.
So this maze actually had one of my favorite, if not like my top favorite, effects of any of the mazes that I've done this year. And that was the effect, and I think we it worked so well, too, because we walked into this room as the first people in our little group of people. Mm-hmm. It was basically a room that had fog, and they had green lights.
Oh, yes.
Like, yes, beaming across, basically, like, at, I'd say, like, waist level. So before you walk in the room and you just see it's a plain empty room, you can't tell how big it is or which way you're supposed to go, because your perception is just like so thrown off because of all the fog and the lights. So it actually kind of looks like you're about to walk through water, but that's impossible because it's just, you know, not being contained by anything.
Right.
Because there's an open doorway. So you step into the room. You can't see below your waist. All you can see is these green beams of light and fog. And then people, scare actors, start popping up from underneath. So they're basically crouched down below that level. And they pop up to scare you. And you are in this room, and if you aren't, like, in a line of people seeing where the exit is, you can't tell where the exit is. You have to walk around the room to be able to find the exit. And that, for me, was, like, a whole new level of scary. But I thought that that was one of the coolest effects, and I think it has to do with, like, that warped sense of perception. I think those types of scares get me more than any others.
Right, right. And just to further explain, the light is actually a laser that's about waist level. So so there's fog, but you can't see underneath the laser, basically. So it's just from the waist up, you don't see anything. But from the waist down, it's just thick fog.
Right.
You know, so it literally looks like, so yeah, it gives you the sensation like you're walking through water or something at waist level. And the, you know, the actors literally come out of nowhere, because the only way that you could see them is if you crouch down below the laser and see what's going on down there.
Which, if you do that, you're cheating.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to go on your hands and knees. You can't, like, just peek your head down.
Right.
I never experienced that with no one in the room, though. So that's very interesting. That's a whole other aspect of it. You don't know where to go. Yeah, because when I went through, there was plenty of people in front of me, so I knew which way to go. That's awesome.
Yeah, we were probably in there for a good 2 minutes or so.
2 minutes? Wow.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, the room is maybe like 20 feet by 20 feet.
Yeah.
So it's not like super huge. So to be in a room like that for 2 minutes is quite a long time, considering they want you to kind of move along. But like, we had a couple of people catch up to us, like maybe two or three. Again, this goes back to the pulsing. You know, for 2 minutes of time, we were in this room, and we only had like two or three people catch up to where we were at that point. And, you know, then we ended up all going out once we all found it.
That's actually a large amount of time. If you think about 2 minutes, because
it was very long.
If you think about it, like, how long does it take to get through most mazes? Usually probably like 5 minutes total, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were there for a good amount of time. And this was not the only time in which, you know, we were slow turtle pacing our way through spaces.
But we'll get to that.
But yeah, we'll get to that point.
All right. Well, you guys have anything else to say about Intrepid?
This was because we were talking about story and like kind of like the non-story to this one. It was actually one of my least favorite of the evening, even though that, like, the room that Angie was talking about was one of the best kind of room environments to be in. The rest of the maze to me wasn't overly impressive. It looked great, but I just wanted to be told a story, and having being told the story everywhere else, it falls a little bit lower on the list for me.
Okay.
Agreed.
Well, we all want what we want out of these experiences. Like I said, some people want the scare actors. I like the immersive environments. You like the story. So, but
yeah,
But it was, I liked what was the end of it was so, there's a lot of detail at the end, and I look forward to kind of going through it again, because I don't believe any of that was in it last year.
Would you say that, because I was unable to experience it the year before, and she's the same way, you know, was this a upgrade for the Intrepid Maze?
I would say, yeah, because as I said, there wasn't too much detail in it before.
Okay.
Essentially, most you had the train thing, and then you kind of went through a bunch of chain link gates, and there were some actors behind them, and there was cool things they did with that. Like, you walked by, you kind of go around an actor, like a U shape, but they were behind a gate, and they had like barrels and stuff, or whatever. So an actor, as I walked by, picked up the barrel and threw it at the gate, which was kind of the, you know, the instinct your brain is telling you.
Someone's throwing a thing at me.
Yeah. So that was kind of fun. That was a thrill.
That's actually a really good scare.
Yeah, no, I was. Yeah, so that was absent from this version, but you know, there wasn't much detail. So I would say it was an upgrade, in my opinion. And there seemed to, at the end, there was a lot of detail, a lot of things on the walls, and a lot of things to go through multiple times and check out. So right. maybe there's a deeper story to be uncovered there. So, I don't know, but that's the Intrepid. So, going down the list here, we have Circus. Now, Circus, as you might imagine, is a circus-themed maze, if you can believe it or not. This one was also in the Dome for the past 2 years that I've gone. So now this is a whole new setup and layout. And it was a pretty different experience than in the past. Let's see. I would say my thoughts on it are, well, they send you in different paths as you first walk in. And one path is just, you just go straight by this one area. And the other path is into a ball pit. And in the past, the ball pit was a mandatory way to go through. And that, like, you couldn't avoid it. And then the year before that, you could avoid it, but you could walk by it, or you did walk by it, and you could choose to go in it or not. This way, they actually decided who was going in the ball pit and who wasn't. So, did you guys end up in the ball pit?
Yeah, we ended up going to the ball pit, and spoiler alert, it took you right back to the beginning.
Well, we probably went through it backwards. We didn't get led into it. We just went in it.
Oh, so that's like what I meant. You went the other way.
Yeah,
because our group, when we first walked in, there was an actor in there, and they split us up. And half of us went down whatever way that I went, which was just towards the exit of the ball pit, and the other half had to go through the ball pit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I found the ball pit and went backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys didn't get split up? There was nobody splitting you up? You just...
No.
Interesting. So, I guess they're just like, choose which way you want to go, and if you go in the ball pit and walk through it again, you know, so be it. But I find it interesting that you had... Talk about pulsing. You had enough time to go through the ball pit and enter right back at the beginning again and not run into anybody?
No, there were, like, some people that had gone through, but, like, we still were at a point where, like, there were very few, almost in every room, there were very few people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'd say I was always around people the night that I went, so.
So, I really liked this maze. The main character focused on this maze was the Ringmaster. We were actually with Albie and Corey from the No Midnight podcast, and they were there as Albie's first haunt ever. So he actually is terrified of clowns. That's his thing. That's like, he, every time he saw a clown running around, he'd just like look away and walk behind one of us. So this maze was kind of like his big, like, fear that he had to like get over, you know. An accomplishment for him to be able to walk through it. But the cool thing was, he liked it so much that we ended up going through it twice. And the ringmaster was actually standing outside of the maze. And I know they have two actors that play the ringmaster depending on what night you go. And one is a woman. The character is actually a woman. And one is a man who is basically a drag queen. And we got him, and he was fantastic. I don't know how the woman does. I'm sure she does great, but I'd say, like, something about him just added so much to the character. So we went up to meet the ringmaster, and Corey kind of, like, told her that Albie was scared, and this was going to be his first time ever facing his fear and meeting a clown. And she was so friendly, and that was like one of the things that Josh had said earlier, like, a lot of these characters, you know, they're scary, but they're not mean necessarily. Like the chef was, because he wanted to cook you,
right?
But the ringmaster was like inviting, wanted to like have a good time and wanted us to have a good time, and that was kind of the character. So Albie ended up facing his fear and got a picture with the ringmaster and talked with her a little bit, and it was probably one of the highlights of the night, honestly.
That's awesome. I'm not sure which was the male or female who was the ringmaster at Midsummer Scream presentation, but whoever they were incredible. So the ringmaster, I love that character. They're so funny and and over the top and ridiculous.
So this is also the point in which there's a secret bar.
Oh, that's in Circus.
It's in Circus. There is a man dressed up as a Zoltar machine. Okay. Like, he's within a box, and he's, you know, dressed up with the curly mustache and everything and the turban. And you walk up to him, and he asks you questions. And if you ask him about the bar, and I think you have to say, like, abracadabra.
Yeah.
That he'll let you into the secret bar. And the bar was pretty small. I would say you could fit maybe 10 people in there. They had 3 drinks on their menu. So it's not like you would go in and could get like whatever you wanted. They had 3 drinks on the menu. I ended up getting a birthday cake martini drink that was like how you would rim like a margarita with salt. This was rimmed with colored sprinkles.
Okay.
And frosting. It was like a fun, you know, way to continue the circus theme. But they also had like an old arcade machine in there that they'd re-rigged up, and on the other side of the wall was like a
compressed air
machine. And the person that could play the arcade machine could actually scare people with the air as they walked by.
So there was actually like a video screen on the arcade machine with like connected to a little security camera. You could actually watch as people were about to walk by and hit the button at the right time and scare people walking by.
Okay. You know, what's interesting is that this past summer, during Midsummer Scream, Queen Mary had an event called Sinister Circus, which was like a dance party kind of thing. I don't know how else to describe it. But they had this little area in the back where not only did they have a tent set up, which had that fog with the laser effect that's an Intrepid, but right outside of it, they had that, the little screen where you could people walk through the tent and you could set that off and you could watch them be scared.
Yeah, there was like kind of a fun little thrill that went with it. We definitely hung around while we were having drinks and played with the machine for a while.
Oh, interesting. Well, Hopefully, I plan to go again after this recording, so maybe I could find it.
Yeah, exactly.
Zoltar.
Walk up to Zoltar, abracadabra.
All right, I'll try that. Other thing about this is that I really love, like, you know, the circus sideshow freak kind of stuff, that kind of vibe. They've had elements of that around Dark Harbor for the past few years, but there was a lot of that actually within the circus maids this year, which I enjoyed.
The bearded lady and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really great. And, you know, like, it was obviously meant to kind of, like, fit you into the atmosphere. It was never really meant to, like, I mean, if you're scared of that thing, sure, but, like, it wasn't really scary. It was completely immersive in its storytelling and details. And I really liked that they, you know, brought you into this world of sideshow freaks. It was a really fun maze. I enjoyed it. I know some people had told me that in years past, the Dome experience was a better experience, but I, for one, really did like this as my first time go around.
I think I like this one better than the past ones. Only thing I didn't like, which is just my personal issues, is the Mirror Maze. Because I don't like this goes back to my claustrophobia issues because it ends with the Mirror Maze. So that's just me. But I mean, Mirror, they have those in like every carnival, like everywhere. So. In the past, when I'd go to like local carnivals and have to go through the Mirror Maze, the trick would be look at the ground. And you could see how run down the path is to get out. Dark Harbor didn't have that. It wasn't run down. Nope. So I was just following who was in front of me to get me out of there.
Yeah, and when Josh had mentioned that, like, there were other points in the night that we were moving at kind of a snail's pace, the end of this maze was what he was referring to, I believe, because it's another trick with lights and fog, but done differently. So basically you're in a room or multiple rooms. Honestly, I don't even know. I don't even know how big of a space we were in, but it was all painted white, and then there was bright white light and fog. And you had to walk through it and figure out how to get out.
Right.
So, and of course there's people and they're dressed completely in white to scare you as well. So, that was a really cool effect. That if I hadn't seen the green fog effect, I think this would have been my favorite effect.
And that's interesting too, because I forgot about that, because that actually was its own mini maze in the VIP section last year, just that. So it's interesting how they just reconfigure and put all these things together to give you a different experience every year.
Right.
So, all right. Very cool. All right. So that was Circus. Uh-oh. Nope, never mind. I lost my list here. We're back. I got the list. And we are... the next one we're going to talk about here is Dead Rise.
Got yeah.
So Dead Rise is, this looks like it's, I'll read what it says. It's an escort ship that helped guide the Gray Ghost into enemy-infested waters. Dead Rise sank to the bottoms and resting in her watery grave in the depths of the sea ever since. The wreckage of Dead Rise has once again been called into service by the Star of Dark Harbor, the Captain, to escort him and his armada of ghosts and monsters into battle against the living to reclaim Dark Harbor.
Now, that is also a true story. During the war times in World War II, when the Queen Mary served as basically a cargo ship, it hit another ship. At that point. And so that's what it's referring to. It sunk like 200 soldiers or something like that.
Wow. That's so eerie. These are true stories. Are you going to say, Ange?
It wasn't a cargo ship. It was, I could look up the actual term, but it was, I think it was a, like just something to transport the soldiers.
Well, yeah, like a passenger ship, yeah.
It said escort ship in the description.
Or escort ship, yeah. So, and it hit another ship and basically sunk that ship. But this story and the layout of this, and even like the outer shell of this as you're walking by it, and if you can get on to the ship at all, like beforehand or whatever, because they basically build a smaller ship as its outer shell, looks amazing.
Yes.
This whole piece as one piece of art is beautiful on the outside and even on the inside. Like, it's done so well. It's amazing how they put it all together.
Yeah, what's also cool about it is that, you know, this is outside, right? So it's on the side of the ship. It's outside. I'm inside of the Queen Mary, I mean. So they're able, and it's very wet. There's a lot of water going on there, I guess, to simulate being underwater, I guess. I don't know. Or could just come, yeah, just coming out of underwater. They also use a lot of fire in this this one. Because it's outside, they're able to get away with that. It's not something you see very often, is actual fire.
Yeah, which also just kind of added to the ambiance of this dark carnival in general as well. You know, it definitely gave it like this kind of Gotham City type of vibe to me, like all the fire usage around the entire Dark Harbor. To be honest with you, I don't remember a whole lot about this maze.
That's how I feel. I can't really,
beyond a couple of spaces where they used cages.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the very end of this maze where, again, they use that same kind of effect with the white paint and the lights and the fog.
Yeah.
I still really loved it. It didn't feel like having that same thing be repeated in two different mazes took away from either experience, because there's, you know, seven mazes in total. I didn't feel like it was too repetitive for using it twice. But I really, really love this maze.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, is that there's also a point where you couldn't get wet, as I said, because they I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but they throw something into a big vat of water right as you walk by, or if you, not every person, but some people get it.
I don't remember if that happened to us.
Well, you probably remember if it happens. So it probably did not. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Also, as you go through, it's the sailors, I think, kind of a cool look, too. They're like zombie-looking sailors.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, they're so hidden that I just kind of hear them making noises with their mouth as you walk by, which, you know, the little haunt, you know, scare actor noise. I can't even do it. It's like or something like that. I don't know. I'm horrible.
You should try out next year.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm ready, guys. I got it. Oh, that's horrifying. You're hired, sir. By the way, I would love to know what that's like to be a scare actor. I don't think I could do it, like, even for one night. But even if I did it for, like, an hour, like, that would be a thrill.
It seems exhausting, honestly.
That's why I said an hour. But, you know, that, you got, I mean, that's just all across the board, not just at Dark Harbor, but all these haunts. The scare actors that have to do the same thing over and over again. Like, that is, yeah, give it up for them. And like I said, it must be a thrill for them just constantly seeing people screaming and scare them. That'd be a lot of fun. All right. So let's move on here to, we only have a few more left here. B340. What would drive a man to madness and murder? The answer is B340. Attempts to answer as we take a schizophrenic sojourn into the psychotic mind of Samuel the Savage. Yeah. So I've been through this maze several times. I still have no idea what's going on. So that being said, you know, I think this one's like, you know, it's creepy at parts and it's kind of cool, but I literally have no idea what's going on. So
I think that might be the point, though, right? Maybe. Was it's like he's going crazy and you're kind of going crazy with him. I don't know.
I mean, I can tell you the real history.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love to know that because I have no idea.
Because there is a room aboard the ship if you stay, like you were saying earlier on, that you can still stay on the ship and that you can, you know, stay in the rooms. And there is a B-340.
But you can't stay in that room.
But you can't stay in that room. And in fact, no one's staying in that room. Except for like ghost hunters or people that are really looking for that kind of thing. I think that room's enclosed since the 80s. If you walk into that room, they've stripped out all the carpet, all the bedding, everything.
Wow.
Because they say it's haunted. And it was actually used when during World War II. I believe it was used as either a room for nurses or a room for an actual asylum.
Okay.
For people who were, you know, kind of at their wit's end. So the whole story behind this really is based on the idea that this room is haunted by the nurses and asylum, you know, slash inmates that they had taken in.
Yeah, and you can actually watch, you know, the website BuzzFeed has its own YouTube channel, and they have BuzzFeed Blue. And on there, they have a series called BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Okay.
Is that what the one? Is that the one that's
BuzzFeed Unsolved, and they have paranormal or true crime, and so
yeah, the paranormal.
Go back through and just if you like typed in BuzzFeed Queen Mary, it would obviously come up right away. It's like a 20-minute video, and they do stay in room B340 for the evening. So you can see what it does look like on the inside, but they will not rent that room out to anyone because of the sheer amount of things that have happened to people. So they say.
Well, you know, I'd say we've been talking about how great they are at their storytelling here. I feel like they need to kind of let that be known, what you just said. Because I had no idea.
I 100% agree. It's on their website a little bit here and there, but I think the enrichment of the stories would be so much greater if they did tell those. At the beginning of this maze, or at the beginning of Lullaby, they kind of have like a scare actor, you know, kind of stop you and hold you off and tell you things for the sake of pulsing.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think that that's really where they should tell you the history of these stories, is having an actor tell you, you know, like you're the newest inmate in B340 or whatever the case may be, and give you a little bit of that backstory because yeah, it's so enriching to know some of this stuff. And I'm glad that I did. But again, you know, kind of like you were saying, like if you don't know the history, you don't really know it. It kind of just seems like, well, these rooms don't really go together, but okay, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
But now that you know and you can go back on Friday, you can see, you know, like what that story now kind of feels like.
Yeah, you should watch that video if you remember to, because
everyone should.
Yeah.
Well, I should probably link it, huh?
You should. You definitely should.
I will link it. It will be in the show notes. I promise.
Okay.
I was promising listeners, not you, Angie.
Yeah, you've already seen it.
Yeah, but I'm going to hold you to it.
I make no promises to you. All right. No, because that's – I actually want to try to watch it before I go back. Because a lot of them, they really do set up history. And this one, not too much. But any other thoughts you guys have on this one as of your first experience?
This, I actually found some of the rooms to be some of the scariest on board. But that's just kind of me and my personal fears of like asylums and weird human testing, you know, and things like that, like back in the day. But I really liked this maze, but I wouldn't say it was my top favorite of the night, my top three.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Right on. All right. Well, moving right along here, we have two more left. The next one I talk about is Lullaby. This is the third year for Lullaby. Always one of my favorites, and it always stayed with me. This was the first one I went into, the first year I went to Dark Harbor. And I found it to be, I love it. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would say beyond Feast, this was my next favorite of the evening.
Creepy little ghost girls are just, they're just always going to do it, you know?
Every time. So this maze is about this little girl named Scary Mary, who's, I suppose this is another real story, who died on the ship, and her ghost haunts the ship.
She died in the pool.
Right, which is interesting. So they had the pool in this one, right?
Yes.
Because they've used the pool different ways every year they've had it.
Yeah, this is a character who actually did die in the pool. And so for them to use the pool in this, I felt was like perfect.
But you really get brought into Scary Mary's tormented world. And you're in the bowels of the ship. You know, there's this talk about immersive. Right. I mean, it'd be creepy walking through there if they didn't even have these haunts set up.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, and it, you know, it's these tight, creepy corridors. It's hot, but the rusted steel and the aura in there is already. Oh, it's such a fun little element. And then bring Scary Mary's warped mind into it. And it's just, you just go all over the place with it. It is a lot of fun. So what were some of the other things you guys liked about it?
I really liked the larger than life, you know, toys. Seeing like the monkeys with the
symbols
and being able to see like the doll, like the wind up toy doll. Here's the thing that, you know, maybe is interesting to think about. Would this be as good of a maze or as creepy of a maze as it is if it did not exist on the ship? Because I think the aura and being within, kind of like you were saying, the belly of the ship in places that just seem like, as a passenger, I should not be here.
Yeah.
You know, like it seems just very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another thing that Dark Harbor really gets right is the makeup and the costuming. And you had mentioned that before with Dead Rise, and like the soldier, or not soldier, sailor costuming. But like, I think that this is one of the mazes that like the costuming and the makeup was done really, really well.
Like, yeah.
It's memorable.
And I have to say, I mean, Mary is such a great character. I'm such a fan of hers. In the past, they have you come out a different area this year than in the past. In the past, you were on a long walkway. So there was a long period of time where Mary kind of just stayed with you and followed you and talked. And she was just, and you know, I love when characters strike up conversations and you start talking to them, like, you know, like, about what they do and see like how their improv skills are, or what they have to say about it and all that stuff. And, you know, and the people that have played Mary have just been, always been so much fun. I'd really love the character and what they do with her. So Scary Mary lives on.
Yeah.
Or I guess dies on, or I don't know, haunts on, whatever she's doing. Anyways, that's Lullaby. Everyone just calls it Scary Mary. I always forget it's called Lullaby. All right, our last maze to discuss of a record-breaking 7 mazes, because they've only had 6 before, is Soulmate to Death Do Us Part. Gale has been haunting Dark Harbor looking for a soulmate since her mysterious disappearance. A meandering maze of mystery, Soulmate is where graceful Gale lures potential suitors with her charm. So what's interesting about this is that it's pretty much exactly the same as last year, but it was completely different the year before. Maybe not completely, but it was drastically different the year before. So and I believe that was its first year. But it's one thing that was different. It was when you first go, before you even walk into the first room, they used to have a movie that played that told you the story of Graceful Gale. And it was awesome. I loved it. It was very similar to the beginning of Tower of Terror when, you know, they tell you the story of the Hollywood Hotel. In fact, it was black and white. It seemed almost to be a little bit too much like it. Maybe it was way too much like it, and that's why they got rid of it. But I loved it. I mean, I love and I wish I could just get a, I wish they put that online or I get a copy of that, because I really enjoyed that little short. It was just really well done. I love Graceful Gale's look. You know, the just kind of like I guess she's supposed to be from like the 1930s or 40s, and she's dressed in a gown, but her eyes are all blacked out with a little line of looks like maybe tears or something. I just right. I really enjoy the character. Another thing that was not this was well that was originally there that wasn't in there is that you walk through this room that was very big and open, which is there's really no space at all in this version of the maze that's big and open. And it's completely filled with Graceful Gale mannequins. And then one of them or two of them aren't mannequins.
Right. Yeah, like, every time I walk into a room like that, I'm like, oh no.
Yep, so I really like that room, but I don't know why they got rid of it. But
yeah, this maze, I think, was like one of the ones that was like a little different than a couple of the others. In similar fashion, though, to Lullaby, she was actually in the maze a lot. So you'd run into her a few times throughout the maze, right. Which didn't always happen with all of the characters.
Yeah, she's kind of, well, I guess she was kind of like roaming around, right?
Yeah, so like you'd run into her and she'd ask you questions, like if you'd seen him or anything. So she was a little more like charming and not necessarily like a friend or friendly, but you know, she wasn't trying to eat you like the chef was.
No, but she was. But she was up to no good in there.
Oh yeah.
but I like when you first enter the maze, there's I supposedly is Gale before death, who's looking for a suitor, very very flirtatious, very immersive. You know, he wants to engage and talk. And I think the multiple sightings of Gale are kind of exposing you to that you're seeing a ghost.
Yeah,
you know, like you're seeing someone that's, and I think that's kind of like what Scary Mary. Same thing. There's so many Scary Marys in there.
Yeah,
you know, so that's kind of like just appearing all around you. It's not she's not a physical being, even though
right.
she literally is a person playing the role. But you know, it's not.
Right, right. Or was it? Maybe one of those was a ghost.
I don't know. Yeah. You imagine how annoyed the ghosts are every time Dark Harbor comes around. They're like, we want to scare people. No. But yeah, no, I really enjoy it for the most part. I do feel that it's very long and maybe longer than I'd like it to be. I just feel at the end it gets kind of long. I also don't really understand what happens towards the end of it, which has there's all these like body parts and skin and flesh ripped apart all over the place.
Yeah, that's quite graphic.
Yeah, it's probably the goriest thing at all at Dark Harbor, I would think. And I don't really know what it has to do with Graceful Gale, but it's I don't know. Do you know anything about the story of Graceful Gale, the actual story?
The actual story, I don't know a whole lot. I know the ghost that haunts the main lobby as well as the cocktail bar, the observation bar on deck. Her name is dubbed the Lady in White, so it fits Gale here because of this kind of 1920s to 40s Hollywood era woman in an evening gown,
like a flapper kind of look.
Yeah.
And she is just always kind of like waiting at the bar, or kind of like waiting. It always seems like she's waiting for someone.
Yeah.
Gail's story is supposed to be more of this like Dr. Frankenstein story, which I don't really personally don't really care for, and the fact that she's murdered several men and is piecing them together.
Oh,
and
that's what the body and everything. Okay. Gotcha.
And piecing them together to create the perfect man. But the real story is that it's just a woman who's been kind of waiting, and it seems like she's waiting for someone, either at the bar or in the main lobby.
No, so it's kind of like I get it. It's kind of like a mishmash there.
Right.
It's kind of like a Haunted Mansion type of a story.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
With less...
She finds men that suit her needs.
And then murders them?
Yeah.
But then, like, doesn't put them back together and, like, cut up fleshy bits and things, you know?
Hey, I'm trying to relate this to the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
Well, we don't know what she did with all those severed heads, Constance, so that might be, behind some of the stuff in the attic.
Exactly.
We don't know. What are your guys' thoughts overall on Soulmate?
Soulmate is what I was really looking forward to because of the lady in white story, and obviously Gail looks like that. I knew kind of the history. I was really impressed with what they had put together, but I kind of agree with you where it's like, why are all these fleshy parts here, and like, what's going on with this? Like, I really liked the music and the ambiance in some of the rooms that were more like, looked like mannequins that had dresses, and you were walking through like maybe her estate room, and you just kind of felt like you started to get to know this character.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it goes from that to being like, oh, there's like dead corpses everywhere. Like what? Like I didn't understand the two going together. Like obviously now, you know, going to the website, I had reading about it, I understand it, but like, I wish they would have just really told the story of this woman who, like, really never found love. Right. You know, it's more of a tragedy than a horror film.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I do think that, like, this maze, though, was a really good one because it did kind of put you in a place and put you in, like, a time. Where every other maze, like, had pieces of that, whereas this one I felt like it more represented, like, the era that everything was supposed to be happening in, or at least her story was supposed to be happening in.
Right. So you did a little time traveling. With Soulmate.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but it did get a little like messy on the story, for me. And then, like we were saying, like there's different things everybody's looking for. For me, it was the story, but I overall enjoyed the experience. Like you were saying, it was pretty long. Maybe a little bit too long. But I think the great thing about Dark Harbor overall is that almost all of the mazes are worth the wait in line because you are in them for quite a good amount of time.
Yeah, and I wonder if a lot of the length has to do with the fact that like they're not building the space that you're in. So they kind of have to take you through longer spaces because you're walking through hallways on the ship. But also, like, I personally, like, can't complain about something being longer because I feel like I'm getting more for my money. But also, like, I feel like overall Dark Harbor, like, even with all of the little things that we're kind of being nitpicky about, I still think that, like, even the, like, quote-unquote, like, worst maze of the night was still one of the best mazes that we've done, period.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're definitely being nitpicky here. I was just saying, as I walk through it, I think, like, I'm ready to be out of this tight space. It's not like it was getting boring. I was just kind of like, it just felt long. Usually mazes don't feel long in general, you know. But
and you definitely can't, like, guess or gauge when it's going to end.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, that's usually the case with most haunts, but yeah, they're like, where, you know, but yeah, that was that. So, yeah, that's all the mazes this year. As I mentioned earlier, they are going to be having ghost tours that run not during Halloween season. I believe they start in November. We will be covering that. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know if you're on the podcast or just a written review. I don't know if there's some that this seems like a written thing. I don't know much you're going to talk about it, but who knows? but that's and then they have Chill coming up as well. Their Christmas event. And like I said, last year I was pretty happy that they had an Alice in Wonderland theme to everything, but you're not always going to be so lucky to have it all something Disney-ish.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's... So I don't know. It might not... With just the fact that it was Alice in Wonderland, which is inherently kind of creepy, it still worked for the show. But we'll see... We'll see how Chill what they have there. They have announced it, but they haven't announced what the theme is this year. So we'll see. But all right. So, what are you, any final thoughts on Dark Harbor this year?
Personally, it was probably my favorite haunt of the three
really?
That we did.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I don't know if like I would say it's like the best one. Or that, like, if you had to pick one, to pick that one. But personally, it was my favorite.
Interesting.
And that has to do with, like, the history, the fact that I've always wanted to visit the Queen Mary with its actual haunted history. That all that just was very interesting to me. And then kind of having that one overarching story. And then all the little stories in between.
Well, we keep saying story over and over again. There's a lot of story to dig into, a lot. Just, you know, I learned a lot just hearing a lot of things that you said, Josh, that are just going to enhance the experience, you know, next time I go. And if you've listened to this and it's after Halloween time or you don't live anywhere near California, you know, like I said, they usually, you know, they might get rid of one, but they usually have the same ones every year that they enhance, so... The story just keeps growing and growing, and it's something definitely worth checking out if you are traveling to this area for Halloween events or will be, you know, in the area during Halloween time, for sure. So what are your thoughts there, Josh?
Yeah, I agree with Angie. Like, this was, out of all the things we did, it was by far my favorite. I actually think that the price that you pay here is well worth it. It's actually significantly cheaper than Knott's or Universal. And I think I don't have the, you know, prices in front of me, but I think the front of the line pass is actually, if you were to buy front of the line pass, it would be a regular ticket to either Knott's or Universal. So, you know, if you're looking to maybe go to Universal, for, you know, $75, you may want to think Queen Mary, because you'll get in plus get front of the line passes for the exact same amount. You know, yes, you're also going to probably pay for parking and food and things like that. Just be aware that you are probably going to get upcharged for a few things. But the overall experience of what this is, the characters, the stories, the mazes, the ambiance, everything is top notch, and I think this was my favorite thing I did all Halloween season.
Wow. Glowing reviews.
Totally.
This is great. Well, I enjoy the event. I ended up going three times last year. So I'm going back again. It definitely is a lot of fun to dig in there, and it's a great environment just to hang out in if you like the creepy, twisted carnival atmosphere. And to top it all off, they have a giant swing ride. I don't know what those are called. It's whatever the silly symphony swings are at DCA, you know.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They have one of those that was at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch.
Yeah, they bought it and purchased it for this, and I believe it's also at the Chill Winter Christmas event, right?
I believe so. I don't recall. But yeah, they have so much other things, like activities there, I can't remember, because they have ice skating and tubing and all these faux winter activities that Southern Californians can't do. But yeah, that was awesome. Well, thanks for coming on down the show again and helping cover these haunts these seasons, all the seasons.
Every season.
Haunts for every season. Thanks for having us on. We had a lot of fun.
This episode of Creepy Kingdom has been brought to you by Olivia Frankenstein. Olivia Frankenstein is an Etsy store that specializes in creepy-inspired enamel pins, buttons, t-shirt, patches, posters, bags, and much more, including their original design, Spooky Mouse Club, a must-have for every Creepy Kingdom citizen. You can check out that design and much more by going to oliviafrankenstein.patternbyetsy.com. That's oliviafrankenstein.patternbyetsy.com.